I am sending around the sign-up sheet for the picnic, and the second sheet is for food. So if you plan on coming to the picnic, please sign up. Once it gets back to you, Larry, if you could make sure it gets across, and it'll come up here. And by the way, that's my pen, just so you know. Okay. Just kidding. It is our joy to have Alex and Caroline here this morning. And Caroline, as I shared, very active in Chihuahua and Lightshine for a number of years, and then God called a man into her life, and now God has called them on to Cusco, Peru, and they'll be going there in October, I believe, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. With Eric and Dan, or 2 weeks later?
With them.
With them. Okay. What a joy. All right. So I will give this time to you.
You can put it right up front.
Gotcha. All righty. Like Pastor Rick said, I'm Alex, and this is my lovely wife, Caroline, and we are some of Rocky Mountain's missionaries. And first off, I just want to say thank you to Rich and to all of you guys for allowing us to come and speak and share about just this awesome call that the Lord has put on our lives, and just the wonderful work that we look forward to doing in Peru. And we're super excited to share that on October 4th, we will be moving full-time to Cusco, Peru, in order to just serve Darwin and Annie, the missionaries out there that I'm sure you guys have heard a lot about. Just a little bit about us real quick is we've both been serving in Rocky Mountain or as single missionaries for about 3 years now. Caroline went down to Chihuahua for 2 years to serve with Lightshine, and I was in Chihuahua for about a year working with the church down there, our sister church, Capilla, just learning from Pastor Rafa and getting experience and learning about a Latin American culture and all those sort of things. And so we're just super excited that now that the Lord has brought us together as a married couple, that he's opening those doors for us to head towards Peru and head towards full-time ministry. My story kind of starts almost 2 years ago. I was in a Bible study. I remember it clear as day. I was in a Bible study with a bunch of guys. I was about a year old as a true disciple of Christ at that point. And I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with Luke Bisher, but he was a part of this Bible study that we had. And he's one of our missionaries now in Uganda. And Luke, he would be looking for the next place that the Lord would send him as a missionary. And so he would go to all these places and then come back and tell our little Bible study about it. So he would go to the Czech Republic and then Uganda and Mexico and Peru. And every time he would tell these stories, they would all just be these cool stories. It would be, wow, awesome work that God is doing in these countries. But then when he went to Peru, he went there for about a month. And he came back, and he told us all about it. And guys, I don't know how to explain it outside of just the Lord put something in my heart when he was talking about Peru. The Lord really lit a fire in my heart for Peru. I'd never been to Peru, never heard anything about Peru. But when Luke came back and he was sharing about Peru, something started right there in that moment. Something deep was planted in my heart towards Peru. And since then, it's been this waiting game, this long journey of just being patient and waiting for the Lord's timing for us to get out there, and it's finally here, and I'm super excited. And so now my wife's going to share a little bit about her story of Peru.
Yeah, so kind of like they mentioned, I've been going to Rocky Mountain for like 7 years now. I started coming when I was 15 years old, and so like I grew up here as a disciple of Jesus, and it has just been such a blessing to be sent by you guys. Like, you have no idea what a wonderful body of Christ that you guys are sending us. And so, yeah, just a little bit of how God put Peru on my heart. The Lord started stirring my heart for missions when I was going into my senior year of high school. And it was a process of praying and seeking counsel and kind of running away from that calling a little bit, where God brought me to the point of like, okay, Caroline, like you need to surrender, you know, your life to what I want to do with it. And so I started praying about, all right, God, well, where? You know, like there's the whole world. There's my neighbor. There's, you know, like where do you start with this call that God has given us and to fulfill his great commission to go into the world and make disciples? And I remember he very specifically put Chihuahua on my heart, which he sent me to. And I feel like that was kind of his training grounds for me. Because he also put Peru on my heart. And at that time, we didn't even have missionaries in Peru yet. So I was just like, okay, God, like, that's interesting. I'll tuck it back there. And then as the years passed and I met Annie and Darwin before they went to Peru and started the church out there and met this guy, and God just started to align our callings, and it all's just come together to now where we're finally going out after about 3 years. So, yeah.
So I'd love to share a little bit about Peru with you guys real quick. So we're going to be moving to the city of Cusco, which is seated at about 11,000 feet in the Andes Mountains. So it's really high up there. And then it's just this incredible place. I'm sure Rich can tell you, because Cusco, even though it's at 11,000 feet, is in a valley. So there's these mountainous peaks that just expand far beyond that. And it's just an incredible sight to see. But the people there, they're not a hard-hearted people by any means, you know. They're really just, happy, joyous sort of people, very friendly, very outgoing. But the thing about the Peruvian people is they're very misled. They believe in Jesus. You talk to 9 out of 10 Peruvians on the street, and they say, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm Catholic. I'm Christian. I'm whatever it might be. Yeah, of course. I love that guy." But what they don't tell you is that while they might worship Jesus, they also worship Mother Mary, or they might worship Mother Earth, or the sun and the moon, and they put out these offerings to appease all the gods because they just want to cover all their bases. And they haven't heard the true story. They haven't heard the true gospel. They haven't heard that Jesus is the only way. And so the Lord has really put it on our hearts to go and to teach the word to these Peruvians, because they think they know the truth, but they just so obviously don't. I'd love to share a verse with you guys real quick. It's out of Romans chapter 10, and it's verse 14, starting verse 14. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." And that's just something that the Lord has put on our hearts and on this mission just in a really mighty way, that these people, they need to hear the truth of God's word. They need to hear Christ's words, because without that, there's going to be no change. There's going to be no depth. There's going to be no growth. They're going to continue to just walk forward in their idolatrous ways, and they're just going to be worshiping all these false idols and false gods. And as nice as they are, and as as much of a kind-hearted people as they are, they're going to perish in the fire. And it's this story of the Bible that they need to hear. They've heard all these different versions or alternate, twisted copies of the truth that we know, and that's just a shame, because they really are a lovely people. And so we have this deep burden. We have this really deep desire to really go and to teach and to make sure that our brothers and sisters in South America, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that they really are grasping the true weight of the gospel. They really are seeking Christ and Christ alone, because he is, like I said, he's the only way to salvation. And so that's a big part of our heart, is just making sure that they hear the truth of the gospel and not some twisted alternate version.
And so I'm sure that Rich has shared a little bit about Annie and Darwin's mission out in Cusco. So they have a church plant. It's about 3 years old now, almost. And so they're who we're going to be going and partnering with. So God has just really, really blessed their ministry out there. And it's been super cool to watch, because they went from having a house church their first year and then that doubling within a year. And people are hungry. Like Alex was saying, like, people desire to know God's word. They desire to know truth. And so with that, you know, this new church is full of new believers. And with new believers comes the need to disciple. You know, God's great commission to us is not go and make converts. It's go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them my commandments. And so that's kind of where our heart is to come alongside of Annie and Darwin and just help them disciple all of these new believers so that they can be just grown up in the Lord and then sent out to their own people to further what Christ is doing in the world. So Rocky Mountain is wanting to send Alex to a pastoral position. So that's part of what we'll be doing, like, our first few years, is he'll be working a lot with Darwin, learning under him, just walking alongside of him and what it looks like to pastor a church. And then a little bit more of long-term is they desire to send us out into Peru, into the smaller villages to plant churches. And and then I will be going as a wife, which I'm still learning a lot about. And helping a lot with administrative things and just wherever Annie needs help, because she just had a little one. So now they have three kiddos, which is super fun. But, yeah, so that's kind of a little bit of our shorter-term vision.
And then part of our longer-term vision that we're just super excited about, like Caroline shared, part of that will be going out in church planning, but we have a huge heart to offer internships to some of the folks here from RMC, as well as down in Chihuahua. We really want to see, you know, strong disciples made, and so we're looking at starting these 9-month to a year long internships where people will come and they'll learn Spanish, and we'll teach them, you know, a lot of the totally blanked, like the classic Christian novels, and we'll read through those and disciple them and lift them up to send them back out as well. But not just us here, not just, you know, like young adults from 719 or young adults from you guys, but also we have a huge heart for raising up locals and sending them back out into their own communities, like Caroline said, so that they can be a light, because we can do a lot of good. We can do a lot of amazing work, and the Lord can move through us in a mighty way, but how much greater to see one of their own strong in the faith and just pressing forward, and how much greater to see you know, their brothers and sisters pressing into the Lord. And so that's really one of our long-term hearts, is to start this almost like a training school for the locals and for people from here, so that we can just continue the process of lifting up and sending out and making disciples and sending them out. And so if you guys are interested in that, definitely come talk to us afterwards. But
so we just want to again say thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time. Like Alex said, we'll be in the back afterwards, and we'd absolutely love to meet you. We'd love to talk with you, answer any questions that you might have. So we look forward to meeting you.
Well, it's a joy to have you with us today, and certainly we can't let you go without praying for you. And please look at their display, take a prayer card. You know, sign up if you want to get letters from them on how things are going. You also know about Chinchero, those who have been here, and it's a children's ministry right now. But it is a community that is really ripe for a church plant as well. That's about 45 minutes away from Cusco, and it's at a higher elevation even. That's close to 13,000 feet. But yet we get to minister there every year we go with the children, and it's just a special, special place. But let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you again for all that you have given us in Christ. And I thank you so much for Alex and Caroline. Lord, I pray that you would just pour out your Spirit in their lives in a wonderful way. And Lord, that they would be that perfect fit with Annie and Darwin in a wonderful way with the church there. They are wonderful people. They are starving for the truth. And Lord, I just pray that as you bless their lives, Lord, and as the ministry grows there, Lord, that they would be making disciples who would go out into their own communities and just love on people and just share the truth, because the truth is what will set them free from their idolatry, that they mingle and mix with everything else. And so I pray that you would just richly bless them, that they'd have safe travels, that they would just enjoy all that you are going to teach them and stretch them and grow them through as a couple, as well as servants of the Most High God. Father, thank you again for all that you've given us in Christ our Lord, in whose name I pray. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 18, because this week we're going to look at Behold Christ's Kingdom. As we consider His kingdom, we are constantly reminded that this kingdom is not His. I mean, just this past week, just within the last 48 hours, we have been gravely reminded just of the evil in the world here in our own country in El Paso and Dayton, and the shootings and everything that took place in those areas. And so even in our own culture, there's this extreme darkness and there's this extreme blindness to the truth of Christ and the love of God and how we are to live in light of that, and how He encourages us to live in light of the fact that His kingdom is not of this world. I've shared this a couple of times here. You know, when we got here was the first time, when we moved from the east here, it was the first time I saw not of this world stickers, and I couldn't figure out what it was saying. I was just trying to figure out, what is it? Is it some kind of a cult, whatever? Only to find out it's not of this world, and how true that is for you and I. And things like this, and things around the world, and I'm sure that if you have a chance to go hear the Iraqi pastors tonight, you'll hear the same stories of the brutality of evil that now happens. But even in our own community, though we consider Colorado Springs and the surrounding area, you know, very much a gospel teaching, gospel preaching area and the cause of Christ, yet there's a lot of darkness that's here. And there really is, and a lot of hearts are blinded to all that Christ has given us. And we see that growing in our communities and wanting to be light in the midst of it, so that His light just pierces that darkness and His love is used in light of that. And so as we consider this, you know, kingdom living needs to be our focus. It has to be the focus of our life in Christ. Every moment of every day ought to be dedicated to living that truth, wanting Him to be magnified in our lives, wanting Him to be seen in our lives, so that at some point somebody asks us the reason of our hope. As Alex shared, the people there are very open to prayer. I mean, we go into marketplaces and things like that, and we ask them if they would like us to pray for them. Well above 95% of the people say yes. They don't even bat an eye about it.
It's harder to give them a free bottle of water than it is to ask them if you want to pray, if they want prayer. And they will share something very personal, very real for you to pray about. Now, that's not America. If we really think about it, if you walk the streets downtown, you probably wouldn't hit that percentage. That is the reality of it. If you went door to door here in this community, I'm quite sure you wouldn't hit that percentage. If you just knocked on the door and say, hey, I'm here to pray with you today. Is there something I could pray with you about? Chances are it wouldn't happen 95%+ of the time where they would say yes. And we know that. And so living in focus of the kingdom of God, that we have this joyous place, this hope, this reality of hope in our lives has to be key because darkness does abound. And we all want to think that the second coming of the Lord's going to happen soon as far as the rapture of the church. We all want to say, yeah, today would be a good time. You know, it wouldn't be a bad thing. But yet, you and I have such a joyous responsibility. You and I have been called to live during these hours, during these days, for His glory. And we ought to look at it as something bright and beautiful, a high calling of God. Paul certainly did as he lived life. John certainly did. The disciples, they didn't have any clue what was going to happen after the ascension, but they wanted to live life looking at all that Christ had promised and the fact that His kingdom is future. It's a high calling, it's a high responsibility, but yet it's filled with joy. At times, heartache, absolutely. But yet it's filled with joy when you and I can have that hope and that focus in our lives. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we look at this beautiful passage of Scripture, we just ask Your hand a blessing upon it. Lord, that You would just, again, minister to our hearts. Lord, we do pray for the folks in El Paso, the many, many families whose lives have been radically changed by this evil act, as well as Dayton. And we hear it far too often. Lord, I just pray that through the power of Your Spirit, Your Comforter, that You would wrap Your loving arms around these families and bring healing. Reveal Yourself in a mighty way. Might they not be able to escape Your presence? And Lord, here in this place, this day, Lord, we ask Your hand a blessing upon us. Lord, that You would just grow us in Your grace as we look at these verses, as Christ walks through the evening of His trials. And Lord, that we would glean much for Your glory and that You'd grow us. Thank You again for all that You've given us in Christ our Lord, whose name I pray. Amen. We are in John's Gospel, chapter 18, and we're going to start with verse 28, because we're going to see that it is a righteous kingdom right off the bat. It's a kingdom of righteousness. Follow along as I read verses 28 through 32. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, and it was early in the morning. But they themselves did not go into the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Now, they want to follow the law out here so that they don't defile themselves. These are the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those who are accusing Christ. And they won't go in, but they will stay outside so that they can remain this ceremonially clean to be able to eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" Now, notice what they say. They don't answer the question. Their hearts are just filled with deceit. They answered and they said unto him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." What a deceitful answer. You know, they refuse to come out and say anything because they know that whatever they dig up and they conjure up will not be true. And so it's just a deceit-filled answer. And Pilate then, verse 31, said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore, the Jews said to him, wait, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. In other words, we want to see him dead, but we're not going to really accuse him of anything, but we want to see him dead. They wanted to see him dead, verse 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Jesus said that was going to happen. He declared it to the disciples. He declared it time and time again. His kingdom, though, is filled with righteousness. Listen to this messianic psalm, Psalm 45. I'm going to start at verse 2. You don't have to turn there, but listen to these words. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and majesty. And in your majesty, ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows shall be sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, and the peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness. It's going to be a righteous kingdom. You know, when we get to heaven, no more deceit. It just isn't going to happen. You know, our lips are going to declare truth. You and I will have this glorified body and everything else. And it's just going to be something spectacular. And we will behold the majesty of our great God and our great Savior. Amen? Isn't that something to look forward to and to live life knowing that He has given us this beautiful calling of not just living in these days, but celebrating Him in these days and sharing Him in these days? That's what He's called us to do if we're a child of God. You know, live in light of righteousness, and therefore live righteously now. You know, allow our lives to be seen that way. Allow our lives to truly be birthed that way. In Acts chapter 5, we would read these words, Romans chapter 5, and again, you don't have to go there, but Romans chapter 5, it says this. He says, nevertheless, starting with verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. But if by one man's offense many died, how much more the grace of God and the gift by grace by one man, Jesus Christ, abounds to many. And the gift is not that which came through one who sinned, for the judgment which came upon the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification, his righteousness being put to our account. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by Adam's, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through Jesus Christ. Therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came upon him, resulting in the condemnation even through this one man's righteous act, the free gift shall come to all men who believe in the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. You know, the joy of it. You know, the free gift of salvation. You know, have we truly unwrapped the depth of it in our own personal, passionate walk with God? You know, I love Alex's honesty, and he said, well, I was only about a year into truly being a disciple of Christ. He was probably saved before that year, but he hadn't really passionately pursued Christ as a disciple of Christ. A disciple is one who passionately pursues as consistently as they can in life, growing in life, growing wonderfully and abounding in life and watching him do great and mighty things in their lives, because now the calling of God, specific areas of where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do, to find our spiritual gifts, to tie us into the body of Christ so we can be knit together for his glory. It's a righteous kingdom. And his righteousness is free. His righteousness is put to our account the very moment that we trust Christ as Savior. Notice, secondly, he just tells them very, very honestly that his kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. Look at verses 33 and following in John chapter 18. Verse 33 says this. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you concerning me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Because the priests wouldn't tell him anything. And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. Now, he didn't say to the Romans, but to the Jewish people. But now my kingdom is not from here. It is not earthly. It is a heavenly kingdom. You know, and you and I are called to live in light of that. It's a kingdom that won't be shaken. Hebrews 12 tells us that. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace of which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For God is a consuming fire. It is not an earthly kingdom. All earthly kingdoms shake and they get shaken. You know, we look around the world. Yeah, and they all get shaken by something somewhere along the line, whether it's militia or whatever. Their countries, even our own country, get shaken. And so we ought to live in light of that, wanting to reveal his kingdom. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Just ahead a few pages in God's word, and catch these verses of God's calling upon you and me. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to start in verse 19. Paul says, "But I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I hear of your state." Paul is in jail when he's writing this letter and being called upon to write this beautiful, beautiful epistle by the Holy Spirit. "For I have no one such like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." In other words, he is the one that he and I just have the same goals. You know, he has followed me. He has followed my example. And he's going to share with you the same way as if I were there. "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him to you as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." He's saying about Timothy, he is living a kingdom life. He is seeking to glorify Jesus Christ in all he does and live in light of the kingdom of God. What a beautiful truth. You know, he wants them to, he goes, "Yet I have considered," verse 25, "to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one ministering to my needs, since he was longing for you all and was distressed when I was sick." In other words, even Epaphroditus is a follower of Christ. Kingdom living, a life of righteousness. Now turn over to chapter 3, 3:17. He goes, "Brethren, join in following my example." These two have, "Join in following my example and note those who walk as you have them as a pattern, for many walk, of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." In other words, they only care about earthly things, and they might mix Christ in, but they are doing it all for selfish reasons. But, verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Isn't that a promise? What a beautiful promise. Someday you and I will have a glorified body. Why? Because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of righteousness, our Lord's kingdom, is not of this world. It's not. It's not earthly. We have such a grand hope to live for and to look forward to. It's unshakable. He ascended to be with the Father. He is there even today. His kingdom is filled with truth. Go back to John chapter 18 and follow along as I read verses 37 and 38. "And Pilate therefore said to him, 'Are you a king?' And Jesus answered and said, 'You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.' And Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?' And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews, and he said to them, 'I find no fault in him at all.'" This kingdom is filled with truth. It's a truthful kingdom. Now think about that. One of the mandatory readings for every pastor and lay pastor at Rocky Mountain Calvary is a book called Dangerous Calling by, I believe it's Ted Tripp or Paul Tripp, I forget which one. But it is that book. And it's filled with the possibility of snares that lay ahead of pastors. You know, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, early 70s, being a pastor was a position of high esteem in most communities across America. But because of people falling, people losing track of why they live in kingdom living, they have fallen, and therefore the position of pastor is usually one of, it's not trusted very well. You know, in the fly leaf of that book are three men who gloriously endorse the book. And sadly, all three of those men have fallen just in the last 5 years. One of them very recently. You know, they've lost ministries. They've crushed churches. I'm sure that their sin just shook the foundations of their churches. And something happened in their lives where they stopped living truth and relying upon this book and passionately pursuing God. You know, I went out to help at the school yesterday, and the very first task given to me was to go around some buildings, and there were some seedlings of elms cropping up and things like that. And I quickly realized that every single one of these sprouts and everything were really suckers. When I got down to the bottom, there was a root there that was 3 or 4 inches thick that somebody allowed to grow up, and then they just cut it off. I find in Christian lives, that often in our life, in our walk with God, God will reveal a root to us that we refuse to address. And we don't allow the victory of Christ to dig it out. It can be a root of bitterness because of unforgiveness. It can be a root of abuse that happened in our lives long ago, and we refuse to address it in our lives. It can be a root of coming from a single-parent family where somebody didn't love us well. And having been raised in a very dysfunctional, broken family, and in and out of the doors often, I believed that my choices in life were dictated because of how I was raised without Christ in a very broken, angry, dysfunctional home filled with ugliness. And I believed that I was totally unworthy of being anything for God except for a helper for other people. I believed that. And when I had a professor put his arm around me after I shared just a little devotional in a class, and he told the class that you've just heard a shepherd's heart, I bolted. That scared the socks off of me. I said, no way, no, not me, not ever. That pastor took me under his wing, that professor, and began mentoring me and talking about the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ and helping me see that my choices are my choices. They are not dictated by all of the things that happened to me in life. I am a new creature in Christ. I can be transformed because of that. And it's a new and living way, and I can grow for it. And what I was doing in my Christian life was leaving the stump and always chasing these suckers year after year that cropped up of one thing or another, you know, my life going, yay, rather than having complete victory and peace in my life so that I could press forward. And once I dug it up, got rid of it, allowed Christ to deal with it with forgiveness and love and care, and pursuing him, I'm amazed what God's done in my life and the calling of God in my life. It's because his truth truly sets us free. It does. And within that, we will find more joy in life, where we can go and we can follow him. 1 Peter says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. He indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world, but has manifest these in these last times, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead, gave him glory, so that your faith and hope is found only in God, not here in earthly things. Since you have purified your souls by obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love for the brethren, love one another fervently out of a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It is truth that sets us free. Listen, will I ever forget all the things that happened to me as a kid? No. They're real. They happen. Those scars are there. But I don't live in bondage and fear to them anymore. You know, having lived through Vietnam and the things that my brother had to go through specifically in Vietnam, and I might still to this day be the only one he has shared those horrible moments in life. But until he came to know Christ as Savior and start being set free, could he truly live a rich, thankful life in Christ Jesus? His wife has experienced it. Their children have experienced it. And it is a truth. I didn't experience that. He did. And to watch the magnificence of being set free from that and not in bondage anymore because of who God is and the truthfulness of it. That's why Christ tells us when he starts telling us put on the whole armor of God that you and I should stand therefore girded about your waist in truth. It is that band of truth that keeps us from stumbling in waging the battle against Christ. Truth sets us free. Truth allows us to live with joy and anticipation that God's going to do great things in us, through us, for his kingdom. Last but not least, his kingdom is built upon grace. It is a kingdom filled with grace and love and mercy. That's why I love His Mercy Is More. I love that song. Thanks for introducing it to us. It is awesome. Look at verses 39 and 40 with me. But you have a custom that I should release someone, this is again Pilate, release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews? After all, you haven't given me a reason to do anything. You just kind of skirted everything. I don't find any problem with him. Then they all cried again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Now he was an evil guy. He was scheduled for death. He deserved what he was going to get. In a sense, he had violated everything, but his kingdom is filled with grace. For by grace you and I have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anybody should boast. That's where it starts, this relationship with Christ and with God, being adopted in his family. I love what the writer of Hebrews shares with us, seeing then that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but with in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace and help in time of need. Man. Let's be a people that are on our knees praying, passionately pursuing God. You know, it's a kingdom of grace. And so I ask you simply, what's your focus today? Is it here and now? Is it here and now? Yeah? Or is it something else that you could live for, passionately pursuing Christ? That's what disciples are. Our focus is on heaven. It is on glorifying Christ in our lives. We can't do it perfectly, but we can do it consistently. So where is our focus? Let me ask a more pointed question. Are you willing to deal with the root issues if you're struggling with suckers in your life? All those little things that crop up? Are you really willing to get to the root of the issue and allow God, and the victory that we have in Christ and the blood sacrifice of Christ to be sufficient to root it out and get it out of there so that you're really set free. You know, it takes a lot of courage to do that. I know for me, I had to address my debt. I had to. If I was truly going to be set free. In God's grace, He made the divine appointment. I had the courage to walk through, and His Spirit did great and marvelous things and just got that root out so that I could really, consistently, passionately pursue Christ. There's nothing better in this life. And I have to constantly pray that I don't get distracted by the things of this world, just like you do. They're real. Do you see God's plan for victory in people's lives, his children's lives? Do you see that he has provided us? He has overcome the world. Amen? You and I have this wonderful relationship here and now to bring glory to him. It is a plan. You and I just have to walk in his righteousness, walk in his truth, have this expectation that he's going to work in us and through us through the power of his Spirit, never by ourselves and our own power, but for his glory. As the worship team comes, yeah, I'd just like you to consider these three questions. We'll have two prayer teams up here. You know, today you would like to make a decision for Christ and trust Christ as Savior, that'd be no greater joy. If you're ready to deal with the root issue, if you've got one, come up and ask for prayer. I'd be glad to help you guys. And I have a couple of gals who would love to help you gals if it's something. Are you walking in victory? There's no greater place of joy than to do that. Let's stand and close our time of prayer. Our Father and our God, thank you so much for the example that Christ so richly pours out as he walked that evening. The victory that we can have, the hope we can have, the joy we can have, because he has brought us to see the wonder of the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray you'd move in our hearts and lives for your glory and your glory alone. Grow us in your grace this day. Passionately work through us, for it's in your Son's name we pray.